Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it is the refreshing!
Oh, it's Gresh in for Gelb today, ladies and gentlemen, all across America, coast to coast, border to border, and in America's hat known as Canada. You can also get us anywhere around the world, not only on the Odyssey app, but you can watch me do this show, ladies and gentlemen. Believe it or not, you can watch me do this whatnot. Go to the Infinity Sports Network YouTube page, and it looks like I'm in the rubber room at the Puzzle Factory with my little padded area, but it's great for me to be with you for the next couple of hours here on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. And may I start with this, ladies and gentlemen of America? May I start with the NFL owners are gutless? How about we start right there after what went down in Palm Beach, Florida, the past couple of days? Here's what I find interesting is that it's not like the NFL owners are caught off guard by this. It's not like the NFL owners should really be caught by surprise by some of the things that were thrown their way, by some of the stuff that they had to vote on, for some of the stuff that they needed to handle and get to. I don't understand why the NFL owners haven't had time to think about this amongst themselves. We know these guys. They're billionaires, for crying out loud. We know that these cats, all of them, ladies and gentlemen, we know they all have discussions amongst themselves, right? We know that they're gonna have their clandestine chats, these NFL owners. You know, they'll kind of pull each other to the side a little bit and be like, hey, you know what? Maybe we should have some answers to certain things that we need to have answers to when we need to have answers to them. And a part of that is making sure that you protect the game, at least in their eyes, right? But it's pretty evident when you have half of the owners in the National Football League who I think want to vote against this, and then they don't have the chutzpah or the guts to do it. Again, this is not the first time that this has ever come up about the tush push. It's just maybe a different team that just happens to be squawking about it this time around. You know, we've seen this for decades now in the NFL. Somebody that can't stop something, or a team that gets aggravated with the way the game is going, they're going to raise their hand, they raise the objection, they start complaining about it. Folks, you can go all the way back to the beginning of the 2000s. And I remember kind of being embedded and covering the New England Patriots during the 03 and 04 seasons. I do believe the year that the Patriots matched up in the Super Bowl against the Eagles, there were a couple of teams, or against the Panthers, excuse me, that would have been 03, that the teams that lost, which were, if I'm not mistaken, it was the Colts, and it was the Philadelphia Eagles. They went to the league the next year after that, what turned into the 03 season Super Bowl between Carolina and New England. Those teams that lost went and complained about the clutching, the grabbing, the holding, the physical play. They were the, honestly, they were the ones that were laying the groundwork for this, you know, wide open, let's play touch football kind of game that we're sort of morphing to, excuse me, there we go, in the National Football League. But I'll tell you this, these owners have known that this is coming. These owners should not be surprised. Sorry about that. These owners should not be surprised in any way, shape, or form that they had to vote on this and that, well, do you want to be the guy? Do you want to be the owner that looks at your coach and says, why do you want this banned? Or are you the guy that has to look at it, or are you the owner that looks at your coach and says, how come you're not pushing the rules? How come you're not trying to exploit stuff like this? I know, America, that I am among the rare people on national sports talk radio who can sit here and not reference chapter and verse stuff with NASCAR, but I can tell you what I've learned about that sport. Now, when I met my wife, I didn't really know about NASCAR. She was a NASCAR nut. And ever since then, you know, I kind of gravitated towards following along being a NASCAR fan. And here's what I learned in that sport. And I'm going to bring it back to an old coach in the NFL here in a moment. But the one thing that the NASCAR people do is they literally blur the lines. There are drivers in that sport who will say, if my crew chief or if my people don't end up getting in trouble along the way during the year, then I'm almost disappointed because you're not trying to gain us a competitive advantage. You're not looking at a rule and say, okay, what are maybe some of the ways around it? And ultimately NASCAR is punitive and they'll, you know, look and be like, hey man, they circumvented a rule, or you either close the loophole or you punish the people who abused what they thought was a loophole. And doesn't that sound a lot like Bill Belichick when he was with the New England Patriots? He interpreted the filming on the sideline rule differently than what it was intended. Ultimately, he got, and we know what went on from there. There's also a great website, by the way. If you think you're high and pious and your organization never does anything wrong, I would say go to a website called Your Team Cheats, because every team in the NFL has had something go wrong, whether it was some sort of like player violation or salary cap everybody does what everybody, again, it's the whole adage of you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, right? Now, I'm not sitting here saying that the Philadelphia Eagles are cheating, but what they've done is they've either exploited a poorly written rule, or the people in the NFL don't want to shut this down because they want their coach to be engaging in activities like this. If you're an owner, you don't necessarily want to close the door on your coach potentially looking at some of these rules. I'll go back to Bill Belichick. There was an AFC championship game to where you had the Baltimore Ravens and their head coach, John Harbaugh, who I think is one of the better head coaches in the NFL. He's no like fly-by-nighter. He's not a ham and egger. This guy's a real bona fide coach. Even that guy was complaining about the way that Bill Belichick and crew had lined up running back Shane Vereen at offensive tackle, and the Ravens completely missed it. They knew it was on the line of scrimmage. They didn't do the whole counting thing and stuff like that, and they're bitching during the game that, yeah, Belichick's doing this, he's doing that, whatever, he's a nefarious character, yada, yada. No. He knew the rule. If he tweaked and took advantage of it formationally, that's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. Not like filming people on a sideline or whatever, but your coach being able to not come across as if they're high and mighty when it's a situation like this where there is some, I guess, ambiguity in the rule. I'm just really disappointed that the owners have said to themselves, hey, you know what? Let's kick this down the road. Because to me, Well, they're telling me with that at 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Well, the NFL owners are telling me what their inaction is that they want to do it, and right now they don't have kind of the guts to do so. Now, what's really interesting to me also are some of the voices that are coming out when it comes to talking about the tush push, right? Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, whose team can't stop a nosebleed when it comes to something like this anyway, with a tush push. Matt LaFleur of the Green Bay Packers is talked about it at the owners' meetings. This is a group setting. You do have to kind of focus in a little bit. But here is what LaFleur had to say about the play and why he feels the way he does. That's okay. So Matt LaFleur was sitting around all these group of people at the owners' meetings, right? And LaFleur ended up saying basically health and safety. That was a part of it, right? And the whole, it feels more like a rugby play than it feels like a football play. I understand that. You can also say that about a quarterback sneak. I mean, God almighty, I was an offensive lineman in college from 92 to 95. And it was the whole, all right, here we go. We're going to try to get into the arrow so that we can run the quarterback sneak. And there were all those ways for you to kind of take your fats and your offensive linemen and kind of push people around, or at least gang up on them, you know, double team the nose tackle and here you go. But the way Philadelphia has done it combined with their quarterback has really flummoxed some people. And Matt LaFleur is clearly one of them. So you have Matt LaFleur out there is the one who wants to raise the red flag on all of this, right? So Green Bay was this year, I think they were the team this year that sort of raised the objection. And then you had Sean McDermott, who was sitting at that same coach's breakfast. And McDermott rolls out the line, well, it's a health and safety thing. And even though we don't have a ton of data that says contrary, here's why I think. Yeah, and he rolled out a whole bunch of, in my opinion, hooey on the potential injuries that can happen on this play, with the potential of a disaster that could happen. Meanwhile, this guy has a moose of a quarterback in Josh Allen. An absolute moose. And the dude has run, meaning Sean McDermott, over, I do believe I saw the last 5 years, the Bills are either second or third in the NFL in running a version of the tush push. Now, I know we can start to like parse words on what is or what isn't the play and stuff like that, but it sure as hell makes sense from a Sean McDermott end that his quarterback, you would think, would be one of those guys that would be pretty good in a tush push kind of play. Now, McDermott is clearly talking out of both sides of his mouth, because there is the in the moment, I'm trying to win the game and I don't have a power running back and I don't have a running game that I can really count on. So what do I do? Well, I'll lean on my big quarterback. He can give me that yard, or he can give me that yard and a half, or whatever it is. And sometimes you do it with just a straight quarterback sneak. Sometimes you do it by running the tush push. And it's just really interesting to me that Sean McDermott, a defensive-minded coach, is one of the dudes who wants to stop this thing. I can understand an offensive-minded guy like Matt LaFleur looking at it and saying, how can I help myself as a head coach? Because there is the part of you that thinks, well, he's an offensive guy. Why wouldn't he want this play in? Well, he can't stop it. And it's more of the, I can't stop this thing versus me trying to use my quarterback in the same way. And we also had one of the Bears ownership, I'll call it one of the Bears ownership group representatives,
But I guess you can go Bears owner George McCaskey. And McCaskey, very calmly, an old man, they're like, you know, what about the tush push? And, well, I'm against it because of the safety concerns. And even though we don't have strong data on it, blah, 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 blah. So for some of these guys, the pivot has clearly been, okay, you know, it's like a politician, you know, and like for those of you who are watching me on YouTube on the Infinity Sports Network stream, you know, it's the old politician where it's like, okay, here's my notes. And what do I need to parrot out there for the people to kvetch and moan? And that is, well, you know, let me go out there with my talking points. Well, there you go. And they had their talking points, and the talking points were clearly health and safety, health and safety, health and safety. I would like to think, America, that we are at least a little bit smarter than that. I would like to think, America, that we're at the point to where we know when we need to put our boots on because the owners are shoveling it right on top of our boots. And this is exactly what is happening right now. I think the owners want to take the play out of the game. I don't think they have the, let me use the line from the great Gorilla Monsoon. I don't think they have the testicular fortitude right now to do so. And as I mentioned, there is the whole, are you kind of neutering your coach a little bit in that, you know, this was a workaround. So the next time there's a workaround, let's call it, are we going to, you know, rally right away to kind of take the play away? Mike Vrabel's response was great. Vrabel's response was, yeah, it's hard to stop Lamar Jackson from running the ball too. Can we put in a rule against that? Where, you know, Vrabel was completely dismissive of the whole thing. But there is a bigger question that I have coming out of this at 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476, and that is, why aren't more people doing it? Wasn't there the old adage in sports that you kind of follow the wave of whatever is going on in your sport that would make you good? I want to examine that next. I am Gresh in for Gelb. Hey, don't forget, we are looking for your Ask the Pros question as well. You can tweet your question to @InfinitySportsNetwork or @TheRealGresh using the hashtag AskThePros. Make sure you get those questions in. We will get to those a little bit later on. But I got to ask the question. What happened to all the followers in the NFL? I want to get to that next. I am Gresh in for Gelb here on the Infinity Sports Network.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am Gresham for Gelb. Don't forget, you can get us anywhere, anytime on the Odyssey app. As long as you can get an internet connection, you can listen to us on the Odyssey app wherever you are. You can also watch me on YouTube, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, in my Gresh bunker. You can watch me do this here program on the YouTubes as well, and of course, on all of your favorite Infinity Sports Network stations. So I think these NFL owners are pretty gutless on not wanting to vote against the tush push. I do think there are enough owners that have raised questions, and you know, now we're starting to get what I would call the groundwork being laid for whenever there is a massive injury. And just hear me out. So right now, the Philadelphia Eagles are great at the tush push. And even though you have hypocrites like Sean McVay, who are talking about taking it out of the game, almost, I mean, I think it was number three in the NFL over a five-year span where McDermott's running those kind of plays. And I know Warren Sharp is out there, did the breakdown of Green Bay on fourth down. They were really good at, guess what, fourth and one quarterback sneaks. Where were they bad? Well, you know, whenever they'd have to call those pesky pass plays or maybe a pesky running play where you turn around and try to hit it to a running back and you can't get a first down. So we can go all the way back into the 80s. And there was always controversy around, you know, the quarterback sneak and they turned into a runner and, you know, the way people went about it. You know, do you remember there was a time where everybody would jump over the pile in the NFL running back? I mean, how many times have we seen the Walter Payton go up like Superman and dive over the pile? Remember, that was a thing for a while. And then it was, well, can you jump over this? And if you're a defender, can you jump over that? And then we tied in the kicking game to it. So it's not like these aren't things that are coming up for the very first time. My question is, why aren't more people doing it? Let me tell you something. If Sean McVay perfected this play, people would be running around pantsless screaming how much of a genius he is. And I'm dead serious on that because of the way people overreact to anything that guy does. Oh, my God. This assistant was stuck in him and he farted in an elevator and he smelled it. Let's hire him as our head coach. That's how crazy people go for this guy. He's a great offensive mind. I don't know if he's a great head coach, but that's my thing. Nevertheless, but I really think if Sean McVay were one of the people who came up with this and not, I'm wearing shorts in the championship photo, Nick Sirianni, then maybe people do feel differently about this. Then it's, you know, then it became of something of genius, right? The way Belichick would have looked at a rule. Oh my God, it's genius what he did, when in reality, it's right there for everyone to do. And for years, hell, decades in the NFL, how many times have people gone along with what is, I guess I'll say, the hip, new, successful thing? In the early 2000s, the Rams were really good at throwing the ball around the lot. And then we allegedly had this era in football where it was, oh, it's all about the pass game. It's only about the pass game. No one cares about the run game anymore. Well, we've come back around to caring about the run game again. And stopping the run has always been a big deal on defense. So it's not like it never really went away. It's all in your purview, and I think how you want to look at some of this stuff. This is just the latest thing of the moment. But what I fail to understand is this, yes, it's about your quarterback, but it's more about your offensive line and the mentality of those guys up front. Here's what's crazy. I just cited the stat. They're like 80% success on fourth and one, I do believe, in Green Bay last year when they're running a quarterback sneak. Is that because of a Jordan Love?
Or is that because of the mentality of the offensive lineman, the timing of when you're calling a play, how you go and execute it? There's so much more that goes in. As a former offensive lineman, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd slant the hell out of the defensive front. Slant it like crazy. If I know I'm going to give it up, I got to try to blow it up. And you're not going to blow it up with second-level defenders. It's got to be your big guys. And if you look at the center, I'm sure Jason Kelsey has talked a lot about this. If you look at the center, they're rooting, meaning they're like rooting close to the ground. It's almost like the center and the nose tackle almost flop on top of each other in one way or another. No, I'd line up in the gaps, and I would slant hard. You're not going to go straight forward. I'm going to take my defensive lineman, and I'm going to try to take that O-lineman and fork that guy as if he was the O-lineman and hit him sideways and try to knock off kind of the equilibrium and the – now, I'm sure it's like, oh, yeah, that's real easy to do. Everybody's in. I get it. It's a tough play to stop, but I'm just telling you, that's what I would do. I would put in my four biggest defensive linemen and just have everybody slant hard and say, try to knock down these offensive linemen in a pile, try to slant them one way, and then we can overload and try to play over the top or see sort of what they're going to do with the quarterback in that instance. Because if they're great at it and you're just giving it up, you got to try to do something. But apparently, you're not going to go so far to try to do it with your starting quarterback. And here's what I would say. There are lots of quarterbacks in the NFL that if you put them on Philadelphia, they would still be good with the tush push. You can put Josh Allen there, and he'd be good. I think you can take a young Drake May at 225 pounds and teach him to be pretty good at that. I think there are, honestly... you couldn't do it with Kyler Murray. He's such a little guy. If you get any kind of push whatsoever, all he's going to do is find the little area to wiggle into. I mean, that's what I would say. But I think there are plenty of quarterbacks who would be able to adapt to it. I'll tell you this. Is he the greatest runner of all time? Nope. Is he great at the quarterback sneak? Maybe not. But if you ask Pat Mahomes to run the tush push, I think the guy would be successful because it's as much or more about the guys up front than it is the quarterback who is executing and running the play. Because if I needed a beefer in there and my quarterback, if I knew I had an O-line that could run this play and my quarterback wasn't worth a damn in running it, well, then fine, put a running back under center. Put a tight end under center. Put the person in there who can handle the football and the snap and would be good at running this. I mean, if Baltimore, who has their own set of goal line plays when it comes to Lamar Jackson and people like that, but I'm being dead serious about this. Wouldn't a play like this, once you show that it works, on other teams, wouldn't you figure other ways to do it? I'll just give you a quick example. If you're Baltimore and you got that fullback, Patrick Ricard, I think it is, the big guy. If that guy can take a snap under center and I can put some people behind him, they're going to push him, right? I mean, you just go to your bigs, meaning you bring in like an extra offensive lineman or that big D tackle from Florida that everybody can't wait to get into the NFL and see if Philadelphia gets him and maybe puts him back there. But you understand the essence of what I'm saying. If you're Baltimore and you don't want your quarterback to run it, but you got somebody else that can run it that's 250 pounds, they're going to get pushed from behind, why haven't other teams done it? And that's the wild part of this. And I know I referenced earlier in 03 how teams who lost in the AFC and NFC championship game were complaining about the Patriots and the Panthers and their physicality and grabbing people and stuff like that. Well, you know what happened? Some teams started to try to, even as the rules were changing, get physical, grab people. You went with what was going on. You got on the train. You got along with the program. And maybe that's where this needs to go. Is it other or if I'm an owner and my coach wants to block this, I'm grilling him. Why? Like, don't BS me. I sign your check. What's the real reason? Is it because y'all can't stop it? Is it because the play is patently unfair? Am I, as an owner, going to have to go out there and roll out the complete, utter hogwash that is the, well, it's health and safety, and we got to worry about that? And getting back to that quickly, all of the health and safety stuff is being mentioned so that if it happens one time, that someone gets hurt one time. They've now built all of the verbal rhetoric up on, well, we don't have the data, but it's only a matter of time. Right now it doesn't show it, but over time there's going to be somebody that's going to get really mangled up or hurt and lost for the season, and then everybody gets on the ambulance and there we go. But I think that's a part of the reason why, for those owners who can't push the others to vote this thing out, that's why we've seen the shift to, well, it's health and safety. Because the first time somebody big gets hurt, they can now jump on it and say, see, see, we didn't have the data, but if we didn't have this play, I wouldn't have lost my, you know, center, guard, tackle, quarterback, whatever it is, insert player's name here, we wouldn't have lost this guy to this stupid play. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Make sure you are tweeting us at INF Sportsnet or at The Real Gresh. Use the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the question when we, or me listening later in the show, excuse me, when we might answer your question. Again, 888-710-4ISN. I am going to get to the Final Four, but I'm as excited to talk Final Four as I am to talk to my buddy, Rich Ackerman. Ack, how are you, pal?
I'm good. How's Carl's pop?
Carl is doing great. Carl turned 9.
Wow. Carl's
my golden retriever. And
they grow up so fast.
Oh, he's such a beaut. Now he's got the old man groans, right? Now, I know you don't have any of these, Ack, right?
Oh, yeah, I know. I have them all.
Yeah, get him up out of the chair or whatever. Yep. He gets up off the floor and he'll go,
oi is my favorite word.
Oi, oh yeah. And I'll tell you what, my dog says oi, I'm putting him on tour. I'll tell you that right now. I'm going to make sure I'm like that. Like the old Looney Tunes with that dancing, singing frog that they found in the construction site once.
Yes, singing Michigan Rag.
How's everything with you, friend?
Okay, everything is okay. No
problem. All right. Yeah. How's everybody handling the St. John's loss? Did you get wrapped up in that at all?
You know, it was hard because I think people it was disappointment. That was really the favorite tone of it. But it was a hard team to get into because they really didn't hit stride till about January, or maybe even later. So it was like kind of like more of a bandwagon thing, and people started getting into it, and then it just ended, you know. And it also wasn't surprising because, as you know, the NCAA tournament, it's all about matchups. St. John's big weakness all year long was they weren't a great perimeter shooting team, you know, and especially from 3-point range. And they ran into a team that had great talent. Arkansas. The biggest story was obviously R.J. Lewis, their leading scorer and Big East Player of the Year, sitting for the final 5 minutes. Like, what happened there?
No, that's a tough sell. And, you know, having Patino obviously gets eyeballs, so that helps.
Yes.
The people in Providence up here are ripped at Patino now. They were thrilled he was here a couple weeks ago. Now he took Bryce Hopkins in transfer portal.
Well, and get used to more of that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And for Providence, they're like poaching from other schools or whatever, and oh, my God, what a mess. A bigger mess than the dog park down the road from my house is NIL.
There we go. Yeah, I miss – and this is not going back that far, but when Providence had Chris Dunn, who wound up staying longer because of injuries, Kyron Cartwright was another guy, was a 4-year player and really developed nicely over time. Like, it was good watching those things. And again, not to be the get off my lawn guy, but college basketball used to be great. And this is going back a ways. I'm just going to use these two guys as an example. But Patrick Ewing was not leaving school. And for 4 years, you got to see him grow, and the intrigue became, where's Patrick Ewing eventually going to go? and he wound up going to the Knicks, and he was he stepped into the NBA right away and was a great player. As great as Cooper Flagg is, if he goes to the Washington Wizards, they're still gonna stink next year. And he'll be okay, but he's not gonna be a day one dominating the NBA person.
Well, and now has NIL set it up to where even for somebody that can go high in the draft, you think about at least one more year, knowing that somebody like Flagg, if Arch Manning's making $6.5 million reportedly, if Flagg came back to Duke, that's got to be $5 million for a year. So it's not like you're losing out on tons of money the way it used to be back whenever, remember the word hardship act?
Yeah,
So many fans now are like, wait, what's the hardship rule? And it's like, well, it basically became, pushed into the CBA. But I hear you. The romanticism of being able to watch five or four guys all play together for a long period of time and then have that NCAA tournament run, it feels like those are days of yesteryear.
Yeah, I mean, it's a new team every year. And, the other thing, too, in R.J. Lewis's case, and I don't mean to single him out, but now that these guys are getting whatever they're getting, it's not like a poor kid. It's like, what did he do? It's
yeah, right.
I mean, unfortunately it's resulted in some people being harassed, which is really, extremely, extremely disappointing and unfortunate. But that's the reality of where we are today between NIL and betting. There's no compassion or sympathy for these players.
No, none at all. A man of passion and sympathy.
Yeah, that's right.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Make sure you're tweeting your question to @INFSportsNet or @TheRealGresh using #AskThePros. Be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Make sure you get your question to us. I am Greshen for Gelb today here on the Infinity Sports Network, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. If you find yourself moving around, meaning you're in and out of the car, for some people on the West Coast, it's almost lunchtime or it is lunchtime. People on the East Coast, you might be zipping around in and out of an office or whatever. You can listen to me on the Odyssey app, or you can also go to YouTube, find Infinity Sports Network, bingo bango. You can watch me do this show live from where I am. Next hour, I'm going to get into the Torpedo Bats and got some NBA to touch on, but I know that Ak and I just talked a little bit about, some Final Four stuff and things like that. Let me tell you, I have to say, this Final Four, oh my goodness gracious. Oh my goodness. I am so excited for it. And I understand that we have created a problem in America when it comes to the NCAA tournament. And people are like, what do you mean by you've created a problem? Clearly, the marketing of the NCAA tournament and the fact that it is so much tied around Cinderella, or that the small conference team trying to make a run against the big boys, maybe it has been pushed and marketed so much that we have now trained people that it is not a great NCAA tournament, unless you get the upsets, unless you get this, unless you get that. And maybe we have programmed people to think that the only way to enjoy an NCAA tournament is really by having Drake make a run to the Sweet 16 and then ultimately get beat by somebody that we know they're going to get pasted by from, you know, anywhere between 10 to 20 points. That's what it feels like to me, is that now that I look back on it, like the way a certain four-letter network completely shoved down our throats, Red Sox Yankees. Oh my God, the first game of the year between the vaunted teams that hate each other, Red Sox Yankees at 8 o'clock. And then it's the next day, you know? Hey, game two, we're going to squeeze more blood out of this rock. It's Red Sox Yankees on a Monday afternoon. And then, you know, 3 weeks later, Red Sox Yankees, we can't put them on the moon, but we'll put them on our TV. And it's like, you're just shoving it down our throat. Oh, my God, this one matchup. And now it's shifted to the Dodgers and all that. But now that I sit back and think about some of the marketing of the NCAA tournament, maybe it was too much around training people to think that the only way there is excitement in an NCAA tournament is to have those kinds of upsets. And that isn't necessarily the case. You know, when I was chit-chatting with Ack, and he mentioned Arkansas. Arkansas is an interesting case study because as a 10 seed in the Sweet 16, are they not Cinderella by seed? And they're not by conference, that's the problem. And they're a big-name brand, and that's a part of the problem too. So we probably should have looked at Cinderella in Arkansas. We should have seen there's everything there. Minus, you're a big-name brand, and you got John Calipari as your head coach. But otherwise, they didn't have a great year. If we swapped out Arkansas and Drake on a 10-11 seed line, if we had swapped them and it was Drake who made it through to the Sweet 16, I don't think people would have had the I guess let's call it, bad taste in their mouth after the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. I am Gresh in for Gelb. If you can't get through at 888-710-4ISN, you can always get me on Twitter or X or TikTok or YouTube at The Real Gresh, G-R-E-S-H. But when we look at this Final Four, how can you not be excited for it? I mean, really, for as much as there was the disappointment of the first round, we're now getting Duke against Houston and Auburn against Florida. And what I find fascinating about this, a couple of things. One of them is, and maybe this is just an NFL thing, but in an era where fans don't want old coaches. In Atlanta last year, I don't want Belichick, he's old. Look in Vegas, I don't want Pete Carroll, he's old. In college basketball, age doesn't really matter. And when you look at the matchups, you have 65-year-old Bruce Pearl against the coach from Florida who's under 40. And then you got John Shire, who's, I think, 38, 39 at Duke, and Kelvin Sampson, who I think is 65 or 66. I just find it very interesting how in certain sports we focus on the age of the coach. You know, like there are people who think that Bill Belichick won't be successful at North Carolina because he's 72. Well, the guy can sell, I'll tell you that. Look at his 25-year-old girlfriend. I mean, he's got to have some way with words, you would think. But Auburn against Florida, an SEC battle, which if an SEC team wins the national championship, I do fear that arrogant SEC football fan will start to come out and kind of club us over the head a little bit on the, we're great, we're great, we're great, SEC, SEC, we're great, we're great. And they're at least going to get a team in the national championship game. So for those people, they're just waiting to rise up and start crowing about their conference. They're at least going to be able to through next weekend. But I hate saying this because I'm not a Duke hater, but I also don't love Duke either, so don't get me wrong. But it feels like Duke has kind of rounded very nicely into shape with arguably the best player in college basketball in Cooper Flagg. And I really thought with Flagg being hurt, oh my goodness, this was not going to go well. I did not think that Flagg was really going to play in the first weekend of this NCAA tournament. Because that ankle roll in the ACC tourney looked pretty bad. Well, Duke has done nothing but blow doors. And minus the game against, Arizona, where they won by 7. I mean, of course, that blowout of 16 seed. They beat Baylor by 23. They beat Alabama by 20. And Houston's been playing some tough games. Houston had a tough road. They look great against Tennessee. But it was dicey against Gonzaga, even dicier against Purdue. I just feel like Duke is rounding into shape at the right time to win a national championship. So lots of interesting storylines for those of you that follow along in different ways. And I guess as I get older, I'm following the ageist stuff. Look out, Western Conference. Here come the Nuggets and Cleveland's looking over their shoulder. NBA next with Gresh.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.